5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Come on. Hello, dear listener. Before we get into today's show, quick ask. If you find value in today's show or you've gotten value out of a previous show, please leave us a quick 5-star review. Be super grateful. Thanks a lot. Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, the strong and powerful Rafi Jamgochian. Rafi, are you ready to do this?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Let's do this. Rafi is the President and Chief Technology Officer at Triada Networks. He's a leader in cybersecurity. He's an author and a consultant. I'm excited to have you on. Rafi, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
I live in northern New Jersey, right outside of New York City. I've been doing this kind of stuff for about 25 years or so. I live here with my wife and four boys. Quarantined in this area, but you know, it's a nice place to be, and it's an exciting work.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you have been at this for a long time. You've seen so many things change. What was it that really attracted you into the business, and what keeps you there?
Yeah, I started out as a computer engineer out of college, did that for a little while and got involved with an investment firm on the IT side. I had never done IT specifically. I've been around computers since I was a young boy who was exposed to it from my dad. But IT was a little bit different. I required networking, acquired some more different kinds of skills. I learned a little bit of customer service there. But while working there, we had an employee that got infected with what's called a worm. A worm is a virus that basically can spread from computer to computer on a network. And that really got me interested on the cybersecurity end of technology and understanding how these things are built, how these things work, and how we can defend ourselves against them.
Yeah, I'm sure that that seeing that for the first time was equal parts fascinating and terrifying and intriguing. And
exactly.
I see myself wanting to sink my teeth into that as well. So yeah. from where that was, now it's a totally different world. How does one stay on top of everything that you need to stay on top of?
Yeah, that's a great question. As you can imagine, technology and cybersecurity is moving at a fast pace, and the pace seems to only get faster as time goes on. So where in the beginning of my career, I probably started out more as a generalist, it's hard to stay as deep as you can by being a generalist in this age. So I stay on top of it with, you know, listening to podcasts, a lot of podcasts in technology and cybersecurity, but also outside of that to get an understanding of what the business world is doing and the risks that they're undergoing. And then reading vendors, partners, peers, any way that you can absorb. But ultimately, it's up to you to decide how you're going to take a direction, how you're going to view your function in kind of the greater, you know, security ecosystem, so to speak.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And so here we are. We're having this conversation at the end of November in 2020, and
yeah,
it's feels like well, it doesn't feel like anything. Our work life has now been just kind of sped up. I think that we're moving more in the direction of remote work, but now here we are. We're forced to be working remotely, and I've got so many different devices now that I can access my work life through. So how are you looking at it? I imagine you're looking at it as this is a huge opportunity, and there's all these new challenges that organizations and employees are facing with remote work.
Yeah, massively. I mean, just think about the number of folks that are now using their own connections, their own devices, connecting to office systems, perhaps maybe devices that weren't protected by your internal technology teams, and now the same computer that Sally's using to play games on is the same computer that you're doing your financial spreadsheets on. So that inherently brings in a whole bunch of other risks associated with that. And then traditional security show that, okay, you know, we have a firewall on our perimeter that protects us from the outside bad people. And then we have some, you know, maybe some software, antivirus, what have you, on the inside to protect our individual computers. We flip that all around. Now, there's no employees inside the firewall. Essentially, they're all working from outside. So the protection mechanisms change and the risk levels change in this remote work scenario. So that's something that we were kind of moving towards, but basically we just accelerated like 3 or 4 years of digital transformation in just a couple of weeks this year in 2020.
Wow. So, all right. So kind of break it down for me. What as I'm a business owner, I've got now employees working from home, the scenarios you just described, what are the things that I need to be focused on and really aware of?
Well, if you take it from kind of the best way to do it to maybe something that's a little maybe more practical, depending on where you are in your financial situation. If you have the financial means, provide equipment for those employees. Separate at least at the device level, even though you're not going to be able to separate their home network. At least separate their device level that they use to connect to the office from everything else in their home. That's not always feasible, and not every small business, medium business has the means to do that, to buy a laptop for every person in addition to the computer that's in their office. If you can transition to laptop use, that may be one way to do it over time, but that would be the number one way. The second way would be, if you can't do that, provide a secure system that they can at least connect to in the office from their outside device. That way you can protect around the where your data is, and that data doesn't leave the office. And there's some protection mechanisms around that you can do. I would say then educate your employees, because the risks have changed, and they're going to be more bombarded with phishing attempts by email, fake emails that try to pretend to be you as the CEO, or pretend to be your HR director or your financial people inside, and trick you to do various things, give up your passwords, give up your other things. And then the final thing would be, at least in the kind of the top things to do first, is to go to a more than password based a way to authorize your employees' access to information. So instead of just username and password, add a smartphone a device to it that allows them to authorize the connection. This way, if somebody does get a hold of their password, they can't log in without that additional authentication code or button or something.
Nice. All right. So when you talk about providing a secure system in the office that an employee can connect to remotely, really dumb that down for me and just explain how that kind of works.
Yeah. So basically, let's say your employee already has a office desktop, right? And you want to provide them access to that from their home computer. You essentially set up, there's some software in place that allows you to make a secure connection to the office. Again, authenticated using that mechanism, which I said, where you'd say a username, password, plus a code that changes every minute. Then that connection, because you're just connecting to the desktop, you're only seeing the screens come across, not the actual data. The data doesn't actually move across the wire. So if anybody's tapping into the computer, they're not going to necessarily get access to as much information as they would if they were on the computer that is processing the information. So you're making a secure connection, that the connection is protected from eavesdroppers, but also the work that you're doing is isolated from any other junk that's going on that home computer. And ultimately, by separating that work out, is what protects your business from, you know, something that you know, your son may have downloaded accidentally when he was surfing the web.
Got it. Well, that certainly does make sense. All right. And where do most of the mistakes happen? Is it that the protections break down, or is it more it's human error?
It's usually in the chair. It's usually human error. And most of the time, if even basic protections, like if you had just the basic software and nothing advanced, and that you have, you know, good, it's people making mistakes with links that they click on, attachments that they open, the passwords that they choose or reuse. That's very common. People using the same password in multiple places. So your company's systems might be well protected, but then if Joe uses the same password that he uses for on LinkedIn or on Facebook or some other website that gets compromised, now they also have your office password. So that's why it tends to end up becoming a human issue, and educating your employees is a major part of when we put together security programs. We almost never do it without some sort of element of educating employees.
Yeah, which certainly does make sense. Here's this great tool, but if you have no idea how you're supposed to be using it or the things you're supposed to be watching out for, well then yeah, that's, you know,
exactly
kind of doing half the job. So how real are these threats for small business owners? People are listening like, you know what? I'll eventually get around to that. Let's scare people a little bit, Ravi.
Yeah. I mean, I hate using fear as a tactic, but unfortunately it has to be done sometimes. And, the truth is that, you know, 60% of small businesses that, have a breach, they get hacked, don't come back. So you hear about the large breaches in the news, you know, the Targets, the Home Depots, Experian, these very large entities that lose millions of records, and they eventually bounce back because they have the means to do that. Small businesses don't. You have a small medical office that loses a whole bunch of medical records, and then they get fined by the government. That's going to be that's a hard thing to come back from. And most don't. And so as a result of that, you know, that's why we think that's important for small businesses, especially to take heed on this kind of stuff, especially because, you know, you have a large organization, you're going to have the means to handle these remote work situations. But if you're a small accounting firm and you just have a couple accountants that work for you, that may not necessarily be the case for your business. But it's very important because now you're handling, you know, very sensitive information for other people, and putting in the time to get that right is important.
Yeah, well, for sure. And I'm confident that people really want to get everything protected and they want to make good decisions about things. But like anything else, I'm sitting in this chair as the CEO or the president, I'm trying to make decisions about a million different things. Yeah. So how do I evaluate software, vendors, protections, all of it?
You need a trusted advisor. You need somebody that understands. If you have somebody on your team that is a little bit more technical than others, that may be a good start. But you really need somebody from, if you're a small business and don't have an internal IT staff, it is important to hire, to look at an expert to at least give you some advice. I mean, most of them will sit down with you for an hour or two and just kind of give you a top down review of the things that they should be doing tailored for your specific business without much obligation. And, that's where I would start. But at the very least, it's being aware of where your sensitive information is, and understanding what are the how difficult is it for somebody to get access to that information, and just put your mind thinking in that way. Sometimes it's hard for most people to think like a hacker, so it's important to talk to people that maybe have that, you know, broken brain that can do that.
Yeah, well, that certainly does make sense. And. And then from I imagine that well, I just asked the question, how often do companies need to be reviewing everything?
We recommend at the very least annually, but doing it every quarter is probably a better mm-hmm. look. The way we approach it with our clients is that we start with an annual baseline, and then we look at we provide a roadmap for the year. So, and every quarter we review that roadmap, and we see where the company is against that plan, and then we make adjustments along the way. And then if something different changes, the risk profile changes, there's something new, the business changes, it has to work for the business. If you're spending $1,000 to protect a $10 cup, it doesn't make sense. Right. But you have to make appropriate investments for what it is, the information that you're protecting. You don't need to go overboard, but there are some pragmatic ways that you can do to definitely make someone look elsewhere at the very least before targeting you specifically.
Yeah, that certainly does make sense. Well, Rafi, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Yeah, I would say when it comes to thinking about your small business, I think that last bit, what I mentioned, is probably a great place to start. Understand where your information is. If you don't know where it is, you can't protect it. And then understand who has access to that information and how they have access. And then from there, you can start thinking about, at the very least, where your risk points are.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets come on.
Come on.
Rafi, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you? How can people engage with you?
So our website is triadanet.com, TRIADANET.com. If you go to triadanet.com/podcast, you have a tip sheet that you can download for free, and that'll give you some steps to go a long way on how to protect yourself. And then all our other information is there as well.
Love it. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Rafi your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to triadanet.com, TRIADANET.com/podcast. Get that tip sheet. And I know that Rafi also provides evaluations and sort of what we've been talking about today. Probably a pretty good idea for everybody. Thanks again, Rafi.
Thank you.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, as we are all in this together. Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online bootcamp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team.
GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.